Welcome to We Empower, the radio show that inspires you to embrace your potential, resilience, and strength. In these challenging times, we're here to help you unlock your power to overcome obstacles, pursue your dreams, and shape a brighter future. I'm Anna Martinez, your host for this empowering hour. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of We Empower. I'm thrilled to have you all with us today. So sit back and get ready to be inspired. Let's make today count. In today's episode, we will have two great guests here to introduce. It is, first of all, Nina Hafer, a charity medical informatics researcher, biotechnologist, and founder of Weiberbildung, exploring gender, health order, and the future of medicine. But I have a secret I will share with you later on. I won't tell you now about her. So then I have also here Ibrahim Hamouda. He's a storytelling producer shaping modern Arabic TV drama by turning family conflicts into meaningful dialogue that resonates across generations and cultures, and he is many more. He's really somebody who carries emotions and sustainability, combines this and gives people hope for a world worth living in. So first, start with a song selected by Nina.
It didn't come to heal me. It came to make me see. I called it love. I called it need. It came in whispers, dressed as care.
Welcome here to the show. I'm very happy to say hello and welcome to Nina. Nina Hafer, welcome here.
Hi, I'm very happy to be here.
Thank
would like
you.
to I would like to introduce you in a few sentences, and I'm not sure if it's all what I can tell about you, but I think it's interesting enough to just make sure that we could further not only the next half an hour, but days, I guess. So today's guest is challenging one of medicine's biggest blind spot, I'd say, the invisible biases hidden inside our health data. Nina Hafer is a biotechnologist, researcher, and medical informatics at Charité Berlin, and founder of the award-winning science podcast Weiberbildung, where she makes complex topics like gender medicine, AI, digital health, and structural inequality accessible to everyone. I mean, who knows the German word Weiber, which is a kind of word for Frauen, for women, knows that we have Weiterbildung as a word, also a typical German word, which means further education. So it's a kind of game, word game with further education and women, Weiberbildung. And her work asks a simple but powerful question. What happens when half of humanity is missing from the data that shapes healthcare?
Yes,
Today, well,
exactly.
yeah.
That is the topic that I'm most concerned about.
Yes, me too. And I mean, we share this, which is really interesting because half of the population is not there. It's just not counted, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. So we have a gender data gap, that's what we call it. So historically, most studies have been almost exclusively done on men. So in healthcare, but also in other like in other places too. So it's not only like healthcare related, but yes, it also has some political reasons. It's not only because of this like discriminatory reasons or anything. It's not like men wanted to be mean to women or something like that. It's really not like that. In some cases, it was even about safety. So women that are, for example, at the age where they can get pregnant were kind of excluded from studies because because it was thought that something might happen to them and their health because of going through something or taking some kind of medication that has not been tested yet. And that's why they were kind of protected also. So we shouldn't say that it was like a mean thought or anything, but like some of those thoughts were also protective.
Absolutely, I'm completely with you. And it's interesting because I had a discussion about this with a woman. And normally you would say, Nina, no, every woman should say, yes, this is the case. And but she said, yeah, but it is because the women, they get pregnant, and of course we wanted to save them, and of course the women have other illnesses than men. So men are a bit stronger from their muscles and from the skin. So we wanted to just save them. I say, yeah, what a kind of safety if the woman is not tested. And for example, I mean, you give, for example, and I mean, this is a kind of maybe also political, but I mean, if we come to COVID, for example, why does a woman with 50 kilo weight gets the same amount of no, the same amount exactly of one who's maybe 120 kilo, 2 meters, she's 1 meter 70, for example. The body can deal with this deals with this completely in a different way, and then we don't need to be surprised that, for example, more women shows more reactions and deeper and heavier reactions than men. I mean, giving them such a high dose, not compared and not in relation to the weight and their gender. This is insane from my time point of view, and we have to look at that. And therefore, I'm not only happy to have you here, Dina, more than happy. I'm really blessed. I feel really blessed that we found each other to move in the next days to the next step of really bringing it to the world, something which is something political And yeah, I speak so to so many women around the world, which all say, great, Nina, great, what Annabelle and Nina wants to move on, we will be part of this. So I think you will hear about what Nina to the world. And this will be, this hopefully will be a big, big shout out. And I mean, you're not only about this, how better data can lead to better medicine, and why the future of healthcare depends on making women visible in science as a group of just the population, as you say, 50% almost. And therefore, I mean, I'm not sure we didn't talk about that, but I hope you are not mad of me. I mean, Nina, you're also a singer. And I mean, it's not long a time ago that I've heard first about it. And I was so, I was thought, wow, this is great because we are all diverse. We have all different facets. And I mean, there's nothing bad about somebody starting after his further education at a big company and doing justice until the end of his job life and then just sitting in his garden and looking at his flowers. There's nothing bad about it. But I really celebrate these people like you, which have more than one life parallel. And this is you. Having also this voice, which is not just being an advocate for the female medicine, but being also an advocate for medicine, for the topics, in a way which not that many people expect from you, stepping into something where, for example, you are singing about the microbiome, right?
Yes. And I mean, the song that was just playing now is also one of my songs. So, yeah, I was just doing an album about emotions. And the first emotion I wanted to tackle was grief, because grief is something that we all kind of share. I mean, the whole world is sometimes grieving, and that is okay. I think many of the illnesses that we also have is because of stuck emotions. If we don't let them out, then bad things can happen. And that is also something that I would like to say about not only female health care, but also about the men, because we see that prevention is not helping the men. We have lots of preventive programs. We try to tackle the problem also in Germany. I'm from Germany. But we somehow cannot get through to the men. So much more women take into account to maybe go to therapy when they feel sad or when they have a depressive episode. But with men, it's much harder, and they get much more illnesses such as addiction, or which is even worse, like suicidal problems. So that is a big, big problem, 3 times more suicides in men than women, and we don't know how to get through to them. And especially young men also. There's communities of lonely men who try to find solace with each other in the online world, being even more isolated from the rest of us. And yeah, I think what I would like to say also about gender medicine, it benefits both women and men. If we look at gender-specific parameters, we don't only benefit women who have been excluded from studies historically and still are not as much enrolled as men and all of that, but also we can look specifically at the needs of both. And even at the needs of even more genders than just the two of them, right? So at this point in time, we see that roles or the societal roles that we have, which is the concept of gender, right? We have the biological sex, which is like what you were, phys your physiology, what you were born as. And then we have the gender, which is kind of like the societal norms, the roles that we play. And how we grow up. I mean, why do women have long hair, or and men mostly have shorter hair, or why do women wear dresses and men cannot? Like, those are all societal roles, and that is the gender, and that also has to do with genetic, like epigenetics. So it's not encoded in our genes, but epigenetics on top is more like what is activated in this life right now. How are we coping right now? Why is one gender more empathetic and the other not? Is that really biology, or is that something that we were trained to be, you know?
Absolutely. I really celebrate what you say, because it's exactly what you say. I mean, what is really trained and what goes maybe through the generations? And it's interesting if we look, for example, at other cultures, African cultures or Asian cultures, and we see that epigenetics plays just a big, big role besides everything what we learned. And I mean, sometimes I see it by myself, for example. I mean, I have immigration background, and then if somebody says, Annabelle, we don't understand you, that you are making yourself so small, I think then I don't understand by myself. Then looking into the generations before, I understand it, yes. Because this was always a role played, and this was always a role to be a good girl, accepted in society. And even if I don't want to step into these shoes and say no, then not reflecting brings me so quickly into this old rules and this hamster wheel, what is so strong because it's something which went over generations. And I think looking at this from medical side, it's also, I mean, we don't need to look at it at always as a kind of judging. We don't need to look at it always as a kind of negative. I mean, it applies also, I think, in the past, the role which was about surviving, right?
Yeah, exactly. So some of the things that we know today has also to do with the history of how our culture evolved, kind of. So lots of aspects, our behaviors and our ways of thinking are very cultural. So what is interesting about human beings is that we are very adaptive. And because we are so adaptive, we can be kind of anything we want to be. And our culture is one thing, but who we are by like from the like natural side, that is very hard to determine. So there is not really like a perfect society or something like a utopian society for all of humankind, because every culture thinks differently about what actually is the right thing, you know? Our morals are all culturally dependent. So, like, I think if we were in the same place, right, not right now, but like 2,000 years ago, we would think completely different things than what we think right now. So, it all has to do with how we grow up, who we grow up with, and with what kind of belief systems. And those belief systems are very agile. So that's also what I really like about science, you know? Science is very open-minded.
Yes, and science often gives us an idea that we can, that we have something we can hold on. Science gives us a kind of safety also in this unknown and this crisis and this unsecure times. And in the end, science is something which is more for a risk taker in the end, which want to explore, which want to be conqueror, which want to experience something new and maybe see after they researched it something, a word which is completely different than before, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
We have 2 minutes now, as a kind of editorial break, and we see each other back afterwards. So please do stay in because and tuned in, because we will continue afterwards and open some other secrets.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, Nina, we talked about some very important topics already before the break. I would like to know now from you, I mean, you are somebody who is a bridge builder, you are in medical, you are in art. What does re-empowering mean for you? What does sustainability mean for you? How do you bring this into your job? How do you live this personally?
I have just thought about this actually yesterday because I was giving a lecture at the University of Bonn and the students were all so nice. And I thought that I was so happy to give something to the next generation, even if it's just like knowledge, although knowledge is kind of the most, I would say, most pricey thing in the world, like more pricey than money, actually. But it was nice to feel like you're at the point where you can give on some kind of wisdom, even though I still feel like I don't know anything about the world. But I think that is something that keeps me around a lot. I think that confidence and wanting to share your confidence and your way of life, if it's a positive and healthy way of life, that is actually what I feel is something that can always start with yourself. So I think empowerment means not only empowering in the sense of some kind of like regulatory things where like the politics do, like in politics something is done and that's how you are empowered because someone made a new law or anything. No, it starts with you, yourself, the way you think about yourself, the way you think about the world. And if you have positive thoughts and confident thoughts in the future of the world, then I think that is something that you should share with others because that's how others can also grow. And if you feel like you are in a not as healthy mindset, then be honest about it and be humble about it because there's nothing wrong with that, but don't put it out on others. So there's like two kind of personality structures that one can have. Like either you internalize, so you think that something happened and you were kind of the culprit of it happening, while externalizing is something happens and you think something happened to you. Not you made it happen, but something happened to you. You were a victim there. And I think this victim mentality is something that we should not grow, and we should try to get as far away from it as possible. We sometimes still have it, of course. Sometimes you're mad at someone because they were mean to you or whatever. But in the end, it's the best thing you can do is try to feel that you are able to change whatever situation you are in right now and that you can do it on your own. So that is what I think is also sustainable because it's not something that happens because of outside forces, but because of you. And if you feel stable enough to make decisions for your own life, then that stability will lead you to better things. I'm sure of it.
I can only just always say yes. I completely agree with you, and I found it so important because it is sometimes somehow some of the people lost it, I think, in the past, especially taking a country like Germany, for example, where the people felt after the Second World War that there is so much support socially, but for for example, when you get sick, when you can't work anymore, when you have to go into hospital sudden, when there happens any things, there is a government who takes over. So you can say, I'm a victim, I need help, and there's help. And on the one hand, it's great, of course, from the past, not that you have this. And on the other hand, I completely agree with you. This is not good because feeling like a victim, feeling like somebody who just say, hello, I need help. We are not in these times anymore when this works, so we have to change. We really have to change the mindset and the narrative behind. It is not good just waiting and open your hand if somebody gives attention to you. We have to turn the ball around. And I think this is also something which is not used in the scientific world, right? Not in a kind of victim, but in a kind of I'm good, who's looking at this, who sees this, and making advertisement about yourself, shouting out loud, hey, I'm good, I've done this. This is so untypical because, or I mean, I learned in my scientific career that it was often said, oh, don't be so loud, just publish it somewhere. People have to check it and then they come to you. But it's not good to say, hello, I've published something new. Look at me. That looks cheap. And it looks as if this, what you worked on, has not a good quality, where it has nothing to do with each other, right?
Yeah, I think scientists are not good salespeople, and that is on the one hand a good thing because that means that we're here for the actual knowledge or the actual trying to find how the world actually works without having some ideas how to, I don't know, like make our assets grow or something, you know? Like we're not good salespeople. But I think in the end, visibility is a very important thing. And back in the days, we had people like, I don't know, like Nikola Tesla or Albert Einstein, and we all still know who they are. And at this point in time, we don't have that anymore. We have influencers, yes. But what do they teach us? I mean, it's a different kind of world. And if scientists don't, and professors don't take up space of visibility, then someone else will. And I don't think that the messages someone else might teach might be better, you know? So I would rather hear something about the newest scientific outcomes than about the newest makeup kit, you know? So that is something to keep in mind.
Absolutely, I confirm. I'm so much with you there, and I think it really needs those voices. And this is why I'm so super happy to seeing you again on Sunday, to driving further this rocket into something where we give more attention to these. One very small last question: if you want to give us and the listeners something on their way, especially the female ones. What is your message about how should you treat life? How should you live life to the fullest?
I think you should enjoy the present. Don't be anxious about the future. Don't be stuck on regrets about the past. Be here in the present. Make the best of what you have in the present. And find joy in the little moments.
Thank you so much, Nina. I got really goosebumps, and I think yes, this is a This is also the safety, right? Live the moment. Be scared about everything what's upcoming. Thank you so much. Now we have the switch to Ibrahim. Ibrahim, welcome here in the show. I'm happy to have you.
Good to have you here as well. Thank you.
You're also in another time zone, so thankful to having you also at this time zone here with us. I would like to say a few words and introduce you. We met at the World Economic Forum in Davos, and we not only met in the World Economic Forum in Davos because you like the circus in Davos and you like snow and you like the party. We met at the World Economic Forum in Davos because you have something to say. You are a new generation of television creators who focus also on social, who focus on diversity, who focus on the real things, who focus on togetherness. Your productions aim to spark conversations about topics which are often just used as boxes. You unbox them, you open them, you give social to say and change something which is emotionally grounded, and storytelling is for you more than just a buzzword. You believe that strong scripts and authentic acting matter more than large budgets, an approach that has helped your staff to gain broad audience recognition. And so therefore, I'm super happy to have you here. Welcome here on the show.
Thank you very much for having me today. It's always a pleasure to be with you on any platform or any kind of cooperation. I know indeed it started in Davos this year, and we both were not there for the snow or skiing or for holidays. Definitely, we were doing some serious work, and everybody was there on a mission to achieve something. Most people definitely would like to be focused on their work or what they want to achieve without, I wouldn't say neglecting their like their immediate environment or their emotions, but indeed sometimes life becomes really harsh that people can, I wouldn't say neglect, but they put don't prioritize such aspects while going through the work or their challenges or any tough time. And I was there definitely to represent the Shafiq Gabri Foundation. I was presenting a presentation about my experience, which has many aspects, along with a friend of mine. She's an a fellow as well. Shafiq Gabri is he's an Egyptian American businessman, and he has work all over the world. He's an investor and business development part of the Egyptian business and America, and he has business in Europe as well. And I owe Shafiq and the foundation a lot, to be honest. Part of being in Davos, he was participating in this directly in a way that people probably didn't see, but to them was maybe indirect, but to me was definitely direct because he opened a lot of doors to me when in America, in Greece, in Switzerland, and in Egypt for sure. And this actually what inspired me from the beginning, because his vision is really inspiring, because the way he looks at people and business is very very deep, because he believes always in people-to-people diplomacy, and from there that's how people start to do business and exchange culture. It comes from the idea from the Orientalists, who actually many of them were Germans, by the way, and from Europe, from Austria as well. And they came to Egypt and they documented life by their brushes and paintings, how Egypt used to look like in the 1600s and even before that in the 1400s. And they went back to Europe with authentic stories because they lived with among Egyptians and they lived in the culture. They witnessed it by their own eyes, just before their eyes. And this is very unique, because back in the time and still till now, this kind of exchange is very essential, because when you live the experience, is still the deepest aspect, provides the deepest perspective to a person because it opens doors for change and growth. Because when you see or you watch it in a movie, this movie could be presented from a particular perspective or highlighting aspects that you wouldn't be able to touch if you didn't live the experience itself. So indeed, this what actually opens doors from to bridge the gap between people and opens doors for cooperation and business in the future. And definitely, I see this plays an important role in the TV production and in storytelling, because when you highlight some of these aspects and you look at an experience, any experience, a personal one or maybe a global one, and when you go and you witness this and you live part of it, and maybe you meet some people who have been to some places or to some experiences or have witnessed an event or so, and you start to live it, and then you write it or you act it in a film or a documentary or anything that you would like to talk about, definitely it gives deeper perspective and it gives change into mind. And this what actually enhances more aspects about identity, about ideas that you can find to develop in terms of business, if you have some common aspect or things that we can complement with each other, things that you don't have in the UK or in Germany and we have in Egypt, and then we start to exchange knowledge and culture and the inheritance itself.
Thank you so much for the words. I just were reminded to yesterday evening where I was a part of Blue Lab, which is a kind of initiative for supporting the ocean worldwide. And they invited an African artist. She played on a very traditional instrument, which uses the calabash of a fruit, the body of a fruit, to use it as making the sound really bigger. And I mean, I don't know the language. The song was in Afrikaans. And but everybody who heard the sound of the instrument and of her singing was aware about what it is. It was crying, shouting, praying for making our people aware of what has to be done to save the world. And some of the people were sitting there crying. And when I asked them afterwards, I said, "Why were you crying?" And they said, "We heard from these words and from these sounds, we heard how deep, how important it is that we do something." And I think art can be so much more than a cherry on the cake. You understand it. And I think the guy who supported you understands it too, that art can open hearts. Art can be so much more than just illustrating, decorating. This can be the new narrative for a new world. And therefore, your work is so important as being authentic, not showing the worst of everything it could be or the funniest, but just being real. This is a real, the real thing where we are touched, because being authentic is in nowadays AI times even more than just doing a boring docu-show, right? Isn't it?
True. So art is not just a tool, it's a human experience.
Exactly. And you step into these shoes, you're feeling with the protagonist as if it's you, right?
True. And
So
the way it transfers emotions, that's what makes people touched. And then once anyone is touched, that's the opportunity to switch, to change, and to develop as well.
exactly. So it not only touches us, it moves us. It can bring us. It can bridge build. Can build bridges, and it can also be the rocket behind us and say, "Yes, go." So to talk further with you about this, I have some really exciting questions where the answers are even more interesting for me, of course. Give us 2 minutes of a small break, and please stay tuned. We're seeing back each other in approximately 2 minutes.
Radio. UK Health Radio. the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So I would like to ask you also, and I forgot to ask you beforehand, what does sustainable empowerment mean to you personally? And how do you live sustainability to others, environment, or of course also through your work or life, as we touched a little bit this field already?
Sure. I think I can summarize this in a few words. Probably some words might help me, like discipline, being motivated and having a vision, and definitely try to always develop. Because a vision without development is just going to stay as a dream. It's not going to be anything more than a plan. You have to definitely execute this plan and take it and put it into action in the real world. So I think these words might help me in this. So discipline, definitely. When you have a vision, it's like a whole mixture between all of these words. Because a vision without discipline, it's still going to be going vain. So what makes me feel more motivated is definitely to that reminds myself every day of my bigger goal. There's that I want to expand from Egypt to Europe to America and connect people. Because even before I started to have some experience in America, and when before I started to work there, I had some misconceptions about some things. But being flexible as well, maybe that's a word I would like to add into this. Being flexible and being open to learn and know and discover. You know, this coach who trained Mike Tyson, Cus D'Amato, and he said once, my role is to discover and uncover. So that's part of the experience. Is you have to do it with yourself. Maybe you don't have a mentor like Cus D'Amato, but Mike Tyson was lucky to do to have one. But you still can apply this into your real life. So you still can go and be flexible, and you can discover some things and aspects and even skills and abilities that you had had no idea about before. Absolutely. So it's like a big plan.
Plan. And I think it's also a plan where it is nice to understand that we are stronger together doing unfolding this togetherness. And therefore, I am also even more excited to knowing you, Ibrahim, as I
know, likewise,
as I know that we will bring so much to the world. Sometimes it takes a bit more time, sometimes less. But yes, in the end, we do this. This is important. And I mean, you faced so many situations, so many sure. exciting but also touching moments. What are your life hacks which help you staying energized, balanced, and also truly well?
That's kind of like a really difficult question because it touches with some difficult situations. Some situations I'm already going through at the moment, like some of the because. My father passed away last month, and the whole situation with the family now is very chaotic. And I would really like to to use your amazing podcast, because it's really popular, to raise awareness about this. And maybe I hope the Egyptian government can hear me from here and say that I would really like to raise awareness about all of these laws about family issues and inheritance issues. And they really should reconsider the whole thing. Because when I looked into the law in Egypt, I found out that inheritance laws are really outdated. They were put in 1943. It's a big gap between what happened back then or what used to happen back then and what is going on at the moment. So what makes me feel more energetic and more motivated through this is definitely I have a big belief, a strong belief, solid belief, I would say, about what I'm here to do. So sometimes I don't know if this is psychologically right or not, but sometimes I distract myself with work because I really love what I do. I really get inspired. So sometimes I distract myself doing this by just kind of like be immersed at work, and or maybe go to the gym or maybe do something very small. I don't believe sometimes when you are into a difficult situation like what I'm going through at the moment, you shouldn't think about dinosaur steps. You should think about baby steps. You should take one by one, little by little. It could be going to the gym. It could be taking a cup of coffee at one of your favorite cafes. It could be a walk in in a park. It could be a nice conversation with one of your best friends or somebody who gives you inspiration. So it could be something like this, but definitely reading is very important. Learning about other experiences is very important, and that's what takes us back to production and how acting and art and literature can teach us about our elderly experiences. It transfers human experience directly to you after being analyzed and put to criticism as well, and you just take it after all of these years of their experiences in just a few pages. So definitely, it's got a lot of layers to go through that. But definitely, always learn a lesson and learn from these tough times, because tough times create strong characters, strong personalities in a way that you can depend on yourself and definitely be able to have sympathy with others. Because now I feel other people, how they, if they go through us the same situation, I believe that I feel more emotions towards what they're going through, and definitely would make me able to support them at some point and definitely unite with each other, maybe to raise awareness, maybe to change something in the future in Egypt or maybe other places in the world if change in Egypt is not applicable at the moment and with these laws. Because we're all humans, we're all the same.
I absolutely agree with you, Ibrahim, and you said it with so really touching words. And yes, I completely agree also with you. I mean, special situations needs human more than ever. Humanity needs human intelligence. It's good that we have the digitization; it helps in some fields, but there's no matter what. We need the humans, we need emotions, we need to hug each other, cuddle. It needs this warmth to know that that we are together, and it needs us that we understand, it is about us. So what I would like to ask you then also, I mean, you shared with me and shared with us here, very personal. And I mean, for example, when you told me that, I felt really, really sad, and I felt with you. And it was totally clear for me that I said, take your time. Of course, you have to take your time. Then putting pressure, and it's a completely wrong answer on that. And it makes, I mean, I think always it shows real friendship. When you are not understanding everything, but you understand that if somebody says, "Hey, I need a bit of time," I'm really not in the same manner than I am not normally, that you say, "Hey, take your time, I'm there." So this is what also I personally wanted to tell you. But what I think you're touching with that, what you're saying, we have so many people which are not because of egoism, just saying, "Hey, where are you? What happened to you? Come on." I think it's more that a lot of people are frightened and narrowed their perspective so that they don't see what's going on your side. So I think understanding this makes us also more satisfied and stronger, because we know that yes, as you said, we should put the people around us which understand us. This is something which shares our energy and makes our energy bigger and makes us more happier people at all, right? But I know
Sure.
that also, I mean, besides this, you faced already some challenges. And I mean, maybe you would like to share with us one life experience that shaped you, who you are today, because you could be so different, but that life shaped you. Is there a moment you will never forget and would change you, the person you are, on one hand strong and resilient, on the other hand also woundable, touchable, somebody who never forgets that you are thankful for something and brave enough to talk about that?
Sure. First of all, I would really love to thank you so much indeed for your patience with me and support over the past period, definitely. And our chats have been really supportive and very important to me, and everything in them, of course. So for the question, definitely, I've got. I don't really remember like something in precisely, but I would say my experience in America in general, because I've lived in almost five states. I've tried many things in all of these states, and they are very different. For example, N New York, DC, and New Jersey, and then from there to Denver, Colorado. Totally different culture, totally different scenery as well, and Nevada, and then back to DC, being part of the US Congress as well. So I started in America from almost nothing, from not doing anything, won't be able to. I was just very low key, nothing, like I wasn't doing anything big. And still, again, I still have to be thankful here to definitely to God and Shafiq Gabr, who has been supporting me since the beginning till now. And he helped me a lot there. But being there, coming from the Middle East, yeah, I already had the Western culture in a way in me, because I've worked already with the with British people, as you can see. Maybe I can hear from my accent a little bit. But being immersed into their environment in America, in Western culture, and America is one of the most important countries in the world, and the culture there, it impacts the rest of the world in terms of music, art, and acting, and Hollywood, all of these things, they definitely shape or give perceptions about America before you go. And when you go there, and I started definitely some things I didn't really understand in terms of the system, the way the taxes and the way they live there, in terms of banks and how you deal with these things. It was a bit challenging, definitely. I was still finding my feet back then, but after a while, I got to know what I should be doing. But the most important things are the stories, the human connections I had there, the friendships that actually I carried with me everywhere I still go to now. These people who supported me, and most of them were really unexpected. And I didn't know that I would be able to survive and be still very diligent under really immense pressure from work, from the environment, because coming from the Middle East and going to a place like Denver, you experience the four seasons in one day. It snows and rains, and it's very hot in the same on the same day. New York was absolutely freezing. So dealing with a lot of things made me know and learn a lot of things about myself, one of which is definitely that how resilient I am, and how I can handle pressure and still succeed in a different environment. That was something very new to me back then.
I can really imagine, and it's great that you did the steps, because I think going into the unknown always makes something with us. We never know, of course, but it's always something which let us grow. When we decide, when we not decide, things seems to stay still. But as soon as we decide to move on, things move, and as soon as we start taking risk, I think life gives us some presents. What motivated you to focus on family-centered storytelling? I would like to know.
Because family, I feel like these days, especially also in Egypt, which is something very strange, because in Egypt usually family ties are really strong. Families in general in the world now are the concept itself is being undermined a little bit. It's a little bit belittled because I don't know what's going on. Maybe because the way we live now with social media and smartphones and the lifestyle makes us a little bit isolated. I don't know what happened, but definitely I can find it. It's vanishing a little by little. Family values are not as being value like the way the people look at now. There, it's a bit different. Like what's going on with me at the situation, for example, this inheritance should be actually making people or continuing or sustaining the family ties. Now, it's kind of like separating people.
And I'm completely with you. I mean, I had meetings with African tribes where I said, wow, these tribes seem so powerful. And I'm a bit, how you say, jealous seeing your strong, strong lines and these tree rituals you share over generations. And they said, Annabelle, stop, stop thinking about this. This is magical. No, we're suffering. We are distracting. So I really love what you do. It is so, so important. And I wish that we could continue. So I think we need another series with you for today.
My pleasure.
For today, I want to say thank you,
Has been an honor.
and thank you. As it unfortunately comes to an end, but there's a lot to watch. And if you also want us to share some links, we are happy to do.
Sure, I'll send them everything to you.
That would be great. And of course, we talk.
Definitely, definitely. Looking forward to our next meeting.